The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 10. This will also serve as the sermon text today. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Holy Spirit, open our hearts to see wonderful things in your teaching. Amen. Dorothy, the Scarecrow, the Cowardly Lion, and the Tin Man had done exactly what the Wizard of Oz told them to do. He said, "If you want me to help you, then go and defeat the Wicked Witch of the West, and then come back," fully expecting that they wouldn't be able to do that. But they did it. Against all odds, Dorothy splashed the Wicked Witch with water, and she was melting, and then they went back to the Wizard of Oz and said, "We're back. Oh, great and powerful wizard, will you keep your promise?" And the Wizard of Oz, so surprised that they actually made it back, says, Just a minute. I need time to think about it. Go away and come back tomorrow." And Dorothy, the small and meek, is so disappointed. She can't believe it. She says, "But I want to go home today." And the Wizard of Oz says, "Go away and come back tomorrow." In our gospel reading, we don't see the great and powerful Oz, but we see the great and powerful Jesus holding court, holding audience. We read, "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath." All the usual suspects were there. It's kind of like church. All the Sabbath worshipers, all the regulars, all the upstanding members of the community, the synagogue leader himself, they're all there, and it seems normal. But then there's someone in the back. Someone smaller and meeker, even than Dorothy. Standing here in the presence of the great and powerful Jesus, it's a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. This woman is singing no song about "if I only had a brain or a heart or whatever," because she needs it all. She needs everything. She's helpless. She's bent over. Her spine is probably fused together. She can't straighten up. She has no companions. No Tin Man with her. Nobody wants anything to do with her. She's not one of these upstanding members of the community. She's a woman who had to sneak in the back. The kind of person no one would notice and no one would want anything to do with. Think about it. It said she had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. There's something spiritual going on here, some type of demon plaguing her. Stay away from me. This woman seeks no audience with Jesus. She doesn't dare. She hasn't done anything amazing like defeated a witch. She's helpless. No, she's just there in the back, unnoticed. But then this, behold. In other words, the Holy Spirit is saying, take a look. Look at this. Here's something unexpected. Look at this. Behold, says the Holy Spirit. There's this woman in the back. A woman nobody else would notice. A woman all the upstanding citizens carefully paying attention to Jesus' sermon are trying hard not to notice. What a distraction. Behold, the Holy Spirit says. Here's someone that everybody would probably prefer if she just came back tomorrow, except for one. Behold! What the Holy Spirit's saying with that word is, look at this through the eyes of the main character. Who's the main character here? Not the synagogue ruler who will tell her, oh, come back tomorrow. Not the other people who are trying to ignore her. Behold, look through the eyes of whom? Jesus. He sees her. He stops mid-sentence, mid-sermon, when nobody else even notices she's there anymore. Behold, there's a woman bent over. That spirit of infirmity, he knows 18 years she's been like this, and he stops mid-sentence. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Oh no. I was just trying to sneak in the back. You know, I didn't want to cause any trouble. I know I don't belong. I'll just leave. What's he going to do? He calls her to him up to the front, up to the pulpit, in the front of church. Who of us wants to get called up to the front of church? Oh no. What's he going to say? He's going to say, lady, stand here as an example. Everybody, look at this lady. This is what happens when you're not godly. This is what happens when you're not good enough. Something bad happens to you. She's been suffering for a long time, and it's her fault. Or maybe he's going to call her up to the front and say, lady, why didn't you come back tomorrow? Look at you, your stature, the way you're hunched over. Come to me in the streets. That's a better setting for you, not at church. Maybe that's what some people expected. Behold, what does Jesus do? When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and he said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. What? What did you just say? Nothing before that. Right away. Without a moment's notice. It can't wait. Woman, you're free. Jesus, the great and powerful, grants her audience immediately. This can't wait. He knows. He knows how helpless she is. He knows how much help she needs, and he knows he can give it, and he can't wait. Not another moment. He says, woman, from this point on, from right now, you are free. And she is. I think even she can't believe it for a second. Because we get no response. We've heard nothing from her so far. I don't think she can believe it. I'm free? What are you talking about? She is. And you see how Jesus has to guide her with his hands? And Jesus laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Can you see it? Woman, you're free from your infirmity. What does that mean? And he comes over to her. It means this. Wow, look how tall you are. You can stand like this now. He can't wait. That couldn't wait until tomorrow. He needed to do it the second he saw her. And then something else can't wait. We finally see her do something. Immediately, what does she do? Jesus makes her stand straight, and she glorified God. She can't wait either. Not only is her body made straight, but so is her soul. Raised, made upright through what Jesus has done. And what does she do? What's the first thing she has to do? The most important thing she wants to do. She glorified God. Maybe you walk in today and you want to sit in the back. Make sure nobody notices you. You know, this isn't really the place for me. Maybe other people, the upstanding citizens, they can sit further forward, but I'll come sit in the back and just hope no one notices me. Or maybe you come in today and you do sit in your normal spot, because if I don't, then people are going to know something's up, so I'll sit in my normal spot and I'll look as normal as possible and hope that no one notices how hunched over I am on the inside with the demons and difficulties that I am facing all the time. If only they knew. Should I even be here? You know what? Maybe I should just come back. I'll come back tomorrow. You know, Jesus can preach to the good Christians today. I'll just come back tomorrow. Behold! Look at your Sunday morning through the eyes of the main character today. Not you. Not the people around you. Not pastor. Through Jesus. Behold. He sees you. And he knows exactly what you're going through. Exactly how long. He sees you and he says, no, 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 no. This can't wait until tomorrow. I want to help you now. You think of a weekday morning, any weekday morning. If you're like me, you wake up tired. Most people do. You think, okay, yes, I should probably do a devotion. Okay. So you stumble over to the nightstand and you got your coffee first. You get that, and the coffee hasn't kicked in yet, and you open the pages, and you can barely see the words, yeah, maybe I should wait till later. Behold, look at that moment through Jesus' eyes. You have all of his attention. He's awake. He's ready. He sees you. And that word of God that he will share is living and active and powerful, and it will give you what you need. Or maybe picture the kitchen table or the couch, and you're going to gather as husband and wife or as a family. We're going to do this family devotion thing, and you feel so awkward. You think, well, that's not really what we do. I'm not really like that. And everybody around the table, they know what I'm like. They want me reading the Bible. I don't think so. Behold. Look at that moment through Jesus' eyes. He knows you. He knows your family. And he is so happy to come, Lord Jesus, be your guest and be there and to give you exactly what you need. I can't wait till tomorrow, says Jesus. I want to help you now. That's what he does. Woman, man, child, friend, son and daughter of Abraham, you are loosed from your infirmity. You are free. You are healed. That's what he does. And if you're still thinking, well, that's awesome, that's wonderful, but I do think it could wait a little while, then read on. Read on in this account and see what happens when Jesus does this amazing thing, this incredible miracle. What happens right away? People start complaining. There Jesus is in the synagogue, proving once again that he is that promised Messiah. He is the one who will come and die and rise to forgive our sins. He's the one who will, according to Isaiah, preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captives. That's who he is. And what happens when he does it? People get mad. The synagogue ruler was indignant. And he says, not to Jesus, he says to everybody else, including that woman, come on another day. Why are you bothering Jesus on the Sabbath? It's easy for us to feel that way, too. Such wonders Jesus shares in his word. He doesn't wait until tomorrow. So much he wants to give. But our sinful nature is just like that synagogue ruler. So quick to get indignant and say, you know what? It probably could wait. To come up with all sorts of reasons why it's not the right time for Jesus to help me. It always seems inconvenient. When I was growing up, I would watch a show with some fun main characters, you know, the classic kids show main characters. There's a bear, there's a rabbit, and there's a turtle. And there's a turtle named Skullman. And Skullman has a very special clock. On his clock are not numbers, but activities. His clock has 5 pillows on it for nap time, 3 snack times, and 2 meal times. And as you can imagine, as these characters are going through their adventures, this clock always rings at what seems like the most inopportune time. All right, quick, let's go to the turtle. Let's go to Skullman. He has an invention that's going to help us. Brrr! The clock strikes pillow. And just when he's about to tell you what you have to do, he falls asleep. Because Skullman always does exactly what the clock says, exactly when it says it. And as you can imagine, this is very frustrating. Skullman, now's not a time to eat. Now's not a time to snack or sleep. We got important things to do. Oh, no. It seems terrible. This is what it's like when the clock strikes Jesus. Brrr. I can pray. I can go to church. I can have a devotion. I can remember those things I've memorized. Oh. It's a really inconvenient time. I got a lot going on. I can't stop now. Jesus' rebuke of the synagogue leader is a good rebuke for our hearts when we think that it's better to put Jesus off. What does Jesus say to this synagogue ruler who says, oh, that could wait until tomorrow? He says this, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? In modern day terms, and this helps if you're a pet owner, Jesus is saying, when you have a day off, and you're thinking, finally, a day to sleep in, and then your dog comes in at 6 a.m. and puts its head on your lap and stares at you, and says, I have to go to the bathroom, and I need food, and I need water. Guess what you do? You take care of it. You have to. The dog won't let you put it off. Anyways, okay, fine. It's your day off, but you get up, and you take care of the dog. You take the dog out. You feed it. You give some water. Jesus is saying, why? Why should you care more about your dog than about people? Here's this woman. She hasn't been waiting 18 minutes to get some food, to get some water. She's been waiting 18 years. And she's been bound, not by hunger, but by Satan. How can I wait? I need to free her. I need to help her now. That's what Jesus says to us. You know, why would you care more about your pet than you care about your soul? Why would we wait? Jesus says, so much worse than needing water and needing food is being bound by Satan. He's working so hard, is being curved in on yourself by that sinful nature without God. No, Jesus says, no, I want to help you now. Why should I wait? And it might seem inconvenient, but it's always the best thing at the time. I mean, it always works out in that cartoon show with the turtle. The clock strikes pillow or food or snack, and he waits. But if you think that, oh no, this is the episode where everything goes wrong and it has a sad ending, then you'd be put to shame, right? because it always works out. Even though the turtle has to have his snack at just the right time, it always works out in the end. And what happened here? When the clock struck Jesus at the most inconvenient time in the middle of a sermon, and Jesus stopped, and he healed this woman, what happened? It was just the right time to free her, to save her. And so it was just the right time for her to glorify God. That's what it's like for you. What happens when the clock would strike Jesus in your life? Well, try it. Maybe even set your alarm. 1 o'clock. All right, 1 o'clock tomorrow, recurring alarm. 1 o'clock every day, I'm going to pray. Give or take a couple minutes. Is that going to ruin your day? Okay, I'll try to have a devotion after breakfast. Awesome. Sometimes you forget. That's okay. When you're there, all right, after breakfast, you open the Bible. Who's there? Jesus is. He's ready. What happens when you take a break on a weekend to gather in this place where two or three are there? Jesus is with you. It's always the right time. And that makes it the right time every moment of our lives to glorify him. Think of the Wizard of Oz. When Dorothy is talking to the wizard, she says, "You know, if you really were great and powerful, you would keep your promises." Jesus really is great and powerful. And he does keep his promises. And so what a perfect time today to seek his audience. The great and powerful Jesus, he can't wait. He can't wait until tomorrow to do wonderful things to you. And because of that, you'll find that every opportunity in your life, every opportunity you have to glorify him, you'll say, "This too, this can't wait until tomorrow." Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.